Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Talk to Rami Show. Today, I have an amazing person in the studio. Camille Moore is here from Canada. She has extensive background in, you know, branding strategies and branding, marketing, and everything in regards to how you're going to get yourself out there. And she's a storyteller. And today, we're going to talk about that. Camille, welcome to the program. Welcome to the show, actually.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I am a big fan of you. I was listening to your Instagram feed. It's very educational. And one thing that I like about you is this. You don't sell. You educate. And, yep. You know, and that's the big thing. Tell me where all started it. What is your story? How did you get into the branding and messaging? How did you in love with that kind of work?
It's a funny and it's a long story, and my journey is still very much journeying. Yes. I got into this almost 10 years ago now. I wanted to be a lawyer, and I thought that was the path to being successful. Oh, it's not working.
Yeah, you kind of pause and stop. I think it's your internet.
Oh, weird. It shouldn't be.
It's good now.
Not a good network. Is it good now?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you give me a thumbs up if it, or like give me a hand signal. But I got into this about 10 years ago. I wanted to be a lawyer. I thought that was the path to living a successful life.
Really?
But I was young and I was in university, and I was like, you know, how do I have a successful life? I didn't know what marketing was when I was 18 or 19. This was still when social media was in a very different place. You know, you couldn't just like open up your phone and be like educated with like thousands of videos in the same way. So a lot has changed in 10 years, but I started working in a law firm, and I was taking a really cool comp sci course at the time as an elective, and I learned Photoshop. And I'd always had a passion for branding, a passion for kind of understanding people, what made them tick, how they could present themselves and position them as different, but I didn't know that that was branding at the time. So, you know, with kind of learning Photoshop and working at this law firm and a great mentor, he kind of stopped me and he was like, you shouldn't get into law. You should get into marketing. You're made for this. And I'm like, well, what's that? You know, like, can I make this into a career? And he's like, oh my gosh, there's huge money in this. So he helped me incorporate my agency, and he started introducing me to other people kind of in my university town. And I thought I was rich. It was way better money than waitressing. I had to pay for myself to go to school. I was like, this is the life. Wow. And that kind of, it snowballed. This was in my undergrad, and the agency continued to grow, and I got bigger and bigger clients. And I was initially working with humans, not things. And as the business kind of continued to grow, I started putting out content. My mentor and business partner was like, stop telling people to create video, like create video yourself. And I'm like, oh no, like nobody's interested in what I have to say. I'm not an expert. I gave myself every excuse but I did it. And I'm so glad I did it, because it started to go viral, and I started to build a community, and I started to get calls from the biggest companies in the world. And it's led me to building an agency that's international. I've worked across cultures. I've learned, you know, inside the boardrooms of the biggest companies, and I just continue to give back, because it's so rewarding to just be able to educate and to your point, not sell. So that is my story.
You know, this is amazing. This is amazing that, you know, you know, you just said it. Do we all think that nobody's going to listen to us? Who needs me?
Yeah.
Who's going to listen to my message?
What
can I bring to the table? Exactly. Who am I? Until you do it and you see that other people actually listening and enjoying your conversation, and then that's the time and said, oh, I did it. I did it. That's what
and when it doesn't
I was going through the same thing. I said,
yeah,
Yeah, exactly. And you have to really work it. Most of the people thinking that it's over the night success is not. Is really not. No. You got to put yourself out there, and you have to be vulnerable. Be honest with you. You got to be vulnerable.
Oh, yeah.
You got to be out there. You got to tell the truth, and you got to connect with your audience. But I have a question for you because you talk about personal branding a lot, and this subject comes up a lot in my conversation lately. That do I have to build my personal brand if I'm a business owner? Like, what is the correlation between my personal brand and my business? I'm a business owner. Who cares about me? What is your take on that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been saying this for, you know, before the data was kind of there, because like it made so much sense. You know, a personal brand is like the best investment that you can make in yourself. You know, on one hand, if you don't own your own business and you're an employee, like that is your net equity, you know, wherever you're going to go in your career, like this is how you build it up. This is how you show your worth. This is how you communicate to people, because your consult or your job interview is happening without us meeting, right? Like you've watched a bunch of my content online. You've gotten to know me before we could get to know each other. But when you're a business owner, like it's non-negotiable, because people don't follow businesses, they follow people. And you've seen this really start to change in the past year, where businesses don't really have a place on social if you're not being raw and showing behind the scenes. Like CEOs are becoming the arm that's selling and marketing their business, because nobody wants to follow a business on Instagram. And we've seen this for a while, you know, like there's perfect examples of like Elon Musk and Richard Branson and Steve Jobs and Gary Vaynerchuk. Like we know it, but people don't think they're a Steve Jobs. So they don't put themselves into the thinking of like, I need a personal brand. But 2024, like influencers are out, educators are in. And if you're not educating for your business as the subject matter expert, you're not going to win. Like I'm getting approached by executives. So I'll work for the company. Like, for example, I do a lot of work in like beauty and medical technologies, and I could work with like selling, let's say, the device, you know, like the facial device or the injectable. But because influencers can't, like, they can't speak on the science, like they can't speak on like how well it works and how different this technology is. So what these med tech companies are doing is they're like, shit, like we need to invest in our C-suite team to be speaking about this on LinkedIn, at conferences. So because they can speak on it in a way that's more interesting, more eloquent, they can show the behind the scenes, they can show how they develop this product in a way that's, it gets the sale done. It's not an influencer being like, hey, this is me and my injectable. It's me saying like, this is the science. This is the, and because they can speak to it in a way that how you and I can speak on marketing. So it's everything in 2024.
Yeah. You know, when you're not believing what you're selling or talking about, and you don't want to be out there, as you said, raw, in the raw form, how are you going to build that trust with your target audience? I'm always saying that. First of all, you have to connect. As you always say, I watch you and you always say, let's connect with these people. And then you start educating them. You start educating about your beauty, about, you know, injection, or whatever you do. Then the last thing is your offer that you said, oh, okay, can I do this for you? Can I educate you? Can I be your friend? Whatever is your messages. But I totally agree with you. Most of us, we miss this important thing. Connecting with other people. And, you know, we have all excuses. I don't have the right camera. I don't have the equipment. I don't have this. It's not the right time. The time. I'm busy. I'm not looking good. I need to. But Nike, the best tagline, just do it. Nike does not sell shoes. I'm telling everybody, Nike does not sell shoes. They sell message.
A dream.
They sell a dream, empowerment, all that stuff. And another thing that people, they trying to do is just pay the influencers. Like, I never paid a penny to anybody. I don't know what is the point. Maybe you can help me out with that. Some people, they're trying, hey, I got to pay this influencer. I want to be an influencer. Some even, they don't believe the product that they are preaching about.
Totally. Well, it's a tricky topic because it depends on the company, depends on the product, depends on the situation. But it's all about understanding metrics that matter. So influencing was really exciting for companies because it seemed like a get-rich-quick scheme. And like all get-rich-quick schemes, they're often too good to be true, right? And the, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, the like influencers were everything. You know, the idea of giving your product to Kim Kardashian and becoming $100 million company overnight, it did happen for some companies. But the problem is that the inauthenticity and an improper benchmark trickled down to small businesses and the industry became broken because people who didn't really have influence that could buy followers, that could look the part on socials but had no influence, could be used for purchase to promote a product to people who weren't real. And the industry became a $1 billion industry, but also a massive bust. And it's tough to navigate, like on, you know, with some clients, like Olipop, for example, it's this like gut health pop company. They became a category behemoth because they used influencers, but they used them organically. So they weren't just looking online for people that had 50,000 followers and paying for them. They were connecting with people who were like you and me, who we may have 5,000 followers or 10,000 followers, but our followers really care about what we post about and what we buy. So the term influencing it's a big kind of word that means a whole lot and means nothing. Like people with influence do sell, right? And we sell things indirectly or directly every day, especially women. You know, like when a woman says, I love your shirt, but they're really saying is that shirt would look great on me. So when they ask, you know, where is your shirt from? They're probably going to buy it because they want to know how they can get that so that they can look as good. Like that does work, right? But the question is, should your budget be blown on women that bought followers that have no influence? Probably not. So it's really understanding strategy and metrics that matter so that you're aligning yourself with the right campaign that makes sense for your business.
And you know, the top of that, you know, the algorithm is changing constantly. And this is something I tell everybody, you really have to study every day. Like, you know, it's an algorithm. It's a story. Whoever gets more attention, it's going to rank.
Wins.
It's like a normal society. People talking about you, everybody's going to know about you.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you're probably alluding to the video I did too on like influencers are out, educators are on that did really well. And really what it like the synopsis of it is like authenticity wins. Always. Like that's never going out of style. So to what you're talking about, this is important to speak on. So in California a few years ago, they passed a law that any post that was paid placement had to be marked hashtag paid. So that being tagged hashtag paid is now being penalized by the algorithm, because what happened is these influencers that are trying to make a buck just became sellouts. So every single post was just a paid post. So when me as a follower, if I was following a health and wellness influencer, I wasn't actually anymore seeing anything that she actually used. Everything was a paid post. And I stopped engaging with it. I stopped liking her comment. I stopped watching her videos. I stopped looking at her profile. And all that social media wants is for us to be engaged longer. Like they're an attention economy. So they want our eyeballs to be in the app as long as possible. Because the app is just really a data capturer. Like that's all the algorithm is. It's constantly processing data to keep people engaged longer. They saw that it wasn't working. So in order to keep people on Instagram for as long as possible, they're now no longer prioritizing that content. But that doesn't mean that if you genuinely connect as a brand, like Olipop, for example, this is what they did right. They used influencers, but it wasn't hashtag paid. Right. It was influencers showing that actually care about gut health, that care about sugar count. This is what's in my fridge genuinely. And that still matters. Like, you still want to look at a fitness account and get tips and tricks on like how to get the best results. Yep. Like, if it's authentic, it's going to work. But just paying people to post about your product as a veiled ad, it's done. Like, it's dead. So like, that's where you're going to get penalized, is in the ad space, being veiled as an ad.
Basically, running ads right now is not going to be as effective that it used to be, right? And as you saying, the more engagement you have with the audience is going to help.
The better. Well, and also too, like, it's that, again, it's just like authenticity. Like, if you see someone that does like 10 posts and they're all hashtag, like, there's just a way of seeing it. Like, it makes perfect sense. If I just had a photo on my Instagram, if every photo is like me behind the scenes at photo shoots or like smiling with my friends or with my new dog, and then I put a post of like just a sunscreen, you know, sitting on my vanity, and I'm like, love this sunscreen. It's full of vitamins and good things. And it's like an ad, like, it's going to kill my algorithm, because anyone that's following me doesn't give a fuck about Kula being on my feed, right? So that's kind of where it's just like, use your brain. Like, it's authentic. It's authenticity sells, authenticity wins. If your brand is just is only focused on ROI, and that's a huge thing. You see it too as an agency, the ROI beliefs. You know, what are we going to make on this investment? I don't want there to be any risk. I want it to be so controlled that it looks like an ad. Well, because you're controlling it, you're going to get a controlled outcome, and it's not going to work. So like, it's working with the times and seeing that social media is like authentic. It's livable. It's breathable. It's meant to be where we want to spend our time.
And why do you think people, they don't want to be who they are? What is that? Why do you think it's that? Like,
oh, I mean, I think it's
like, if you don't want to be yourself, why do you want to be out there?
I mean, I think on one hand, influencers, it became such a sexy profession that seemed almost that it required no work, that a lot of people were drawn to it, and it killed the industry. Like, the top influencers or creators like Mr. Beast, like, it's beyond a full-time job. It's exhausting. It's all in. And it's, so a lot of people were like flocked to it that wanted the benefits of it without actually really understanding what it entailed. And I think when you're asking the like, why are you doing it? It seems so easy if a brand's like, hey, I'm going to pay you $5,000. Will you post this under our kind of controlled like metrics? And what they don't realize is like, they've sold their soul. Now their profile isn't worth anything. It's not going to get the same engagement, and it's going to be very hard for you to build back that trust and credibility. So I think a lot of it just came with learning, and us like the digital landscape is still very new. You know, the rise of TikTok stars, like, we're talking since COVID. Like, this hasn't been, you know, like, when we talk about branding and we can go back to the 40s and 50s and analyze ads, like, because a lot of it was new and you can make a lot of money quick, because brands are like, we need access because no one's watching TV. Billboards don't work like they used to. How do we get in front of our customers? We need to have a bigger quarter. They were just throwing cash around. And there wasn't a lot of thinking that went with it. So I think that a lot of the problem is on the brand side. When you're going to throw around cash and not be thoughtful, people are going to take it and not be thoughtful.
Yep. And, you know, these days, everybody thinking, this is what we get at the agency. We have clients that come to us and they say, well, I want you to manage my social media. Just post for us. I said, doesn't work like that. It doesn't work just put a pre-picture or this and use a hashtag. You have to engage with your audience, like talking to somebody. You got to gain that trust. You got to build that trust. You got to respond to all the messages. Yeah. You got to engage with people. You can't, it's not a blind date. You got to go and do your part. And we don't work with them. And they are wondering, why are you not getting my account? I said, because we're not going to help you. I'm sure you had that experience.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's funny. I feel it's for me, it's more like they think we're magic workers, like make us viral. Just do what you do on socials for us and like make us a whole bunch of money. And I'm like, no, when you outsource it, you pay the price. Like it's so frustrating, but it also allows, I think, bad actors to enter into the industry and take advantage of it. And it ruins it for people who are strategic thinkers like the two of us,
Amen.
because it's a such a different message than they're so used to getting. And it's very difficult when there's very few of us that are very thoughtful in how we communicate about really something that controls, like, marketing and branding is everything. It's everything. And it, so much lack of thinking goes into it, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, a lot of businesses, they have the sales, and then when you talk to them, say, "No, I don't need any marketing. I got my clients." And I said, "How long that's gonna last for you? You got to be out there. If you're not out there and talking and actually educating people about yourself,
Yeah.
about your product, it's not gonna last that long." And we have people coming here in our studio and CEO levels, and I ask them, "What is your story?" They don't know. And say, "How are you gonna
Yeah.
run your business? How are you gonna tell the story of it? This is amazing."
Oh yeah. I mean, that's a whole other kettle of fish. The problem of story. I mean, it's so funny. I'm right now going through the process of writing a book, and I've been interviewing on my podcast a lot of the top authors in books that I've written, that I've read and I look up to, and I've been asking them, like, what is a brand to you? And like just kind of understanding their difference in approach to brand and
What they
story. And
say.
I've had, a brand is the lack of anxiety. I had that from Rory Sutherland, the author of Alchemy. I had from Bill Schley, a brand is a brand is everything but your name. It's the story that it's attached to it. I've had a brand. I got to think about all the, I mean, I've had so many different definitions of brand, which is so interesting, but you're so right on the story piece. I tweeted about Walt Disney the other day, and I got to pull up what the tweet was. But it's just something to the effect of, like, if you don't have a story to tell, like, you don't have a brand at all. And like nailing your story is why you actually have to work with the best, because the best marketing is simple, but simple isn't easy. So it's understanding what points of hearing a whole story and what points of the story are the best elements to tell. For people who are starting out and can't afford hiring a top consultant, I find the Donald Miller How to Build a Story brand a great start, where he talks about like the seven plot points of a story
Yep.
and just helping you understand that the customer is the hero, you're not the hero. Which is a great
It's
way
not
to
about
kind of,
you.
it's not about you, it's
Yep.
about them. But it's tough because the further I kind of dig into this, it's like, it's simple what your story is. Like when you and I hear it, we're like, you're totally missing the angle, you're totally missing the point. But that's also the art of great marketing. When you say like, just do it, like the story that comes with that line, like, and how do you come up with that? Like it's brilliant, but it's simple and it's everything, but it's nothing, like it's just, that's what good marketing is. Like it's that kind of, it's that tangible intangible of like, shit, that's good.
Yep. I love it when you said it's everything but nothing. I had a dear friend. He said, "Why don't you want to tell your stories in LinkedIn?" Because I was a dishwasher. Like, I came here 30 years
Oh.
ago, and I'm proud of it. I was a dishwasher. And today I was sitting at my desk, and I talked to my staff and everything else, and I designed something, and I just came to my mind, and I wrote "From the Dish to Wish." And I put my picture when 30 years ago I was a dishwasher, and I put my picture when I was the CEO. And then I wrote the whole story, just like
And
vulnerable,
that
like I
performs
was
the best.
vulnerable. I
Yeah.
swear to God, it was like I threw out my heart and I said, "Guys, this is me. Look at it. And I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for that. I learned so much and everything else." That was the best piece of the content I personally did. And I loved it
You can't
because
outsource that.
But yeah, but you can't, it's just you. It's you. And I'm not going to hide behind it. Yes, I was a
Yeah.
dishwasher. Yes, I have an accent.
Both
Yes.
of you.
It's just, you know, and I cannot hide that. And I will never, ever hide that. You know, it's just we all have stories that we all can learn from one another.
Yeah, agreed.
Stories actually build the digital foundation.
Agreed wholeheartedly. I mean, and I love that you said that because people want their story to be perfect and they don't realize, like,
oh my God,
the imperfect is what we connect with more, right? Like, I look at you and I could assume that you came from a wealthy, you know, a good family. You were kind of handed an agency, and you could think the same for me. But like to tell your story, to be raw, to be vulnerable, like it allows people to open up and connect with you. And that's what sticks, right? When someone talks about you to somebody else, they're like, yeah, this guy built this kick-ass 8-figure agency. They're absolutely killing it, has a number one podcast in the category. And you know what? He started as a dishwasher. He came here 30 years ago. Like that rise to riches, like that's what sticks with people. Like that's what people tell. Like they don't say, you know, oh yes, I met this really interesting marketer. She had great things to say. You know, they're like, I met this raw, bold, unapologetic marketer. She knows she's blonde and she drops F-bombs. Like she was crazy cool. Like, but like it's being not perfect, you know, like that's what sticks out.
Yeah, somebody actually, we were in the, you know, South by Southwest here in the event for all the venture capital and they were serving, you know, French fries. And I was eating French fries with the mayonnaise. And then he said, why you love French fries? I said, dude, one day, this is many years ago, I could not buy a French fries. And he said, what? I don't get it. I said, I was that poor. I didn't know to shoot, buy a French fries or put the gas in my car. I said, that's why you love French fries? I said, yeah, that's what I love, French fries.
That's awesome.
It was so funny and he couldn't believe it. I said, that's me, dude. That's me. And, you know, it's just being, as you said, being authentic and being yourself and people loving that to be you.
Yeah.
Even in the relationship, can you date somebody and not be you? And how long that's going to last? Yeah, you're going to get divorced. You're going to break up.
But it's also like people just want to they want to contrive and create a story that like works for them. But when you open up and you're real, like that's when all walks of life can connect with you. Like it doesn't, I say all the time, like I grew up poor too. Like my first job I got at 14 years old was to buy myself a bench jacket. Like my parents said, they were like, we're not buying you a branded piece of clothing. Like we shop at the thrift store. Like I'm like, well, I'm doing it. So I'm going to have a full job. And I worked 6 to 2 at McDonald's at 14. I was the youngest hire, and it was to buy brands. And like, I tell this story when I'm at fucking Van Cleef, I'll be at the biggest, most expensive high-end brands in the world. And I'll be like, this is me, you know, like I can understand luxury because I really wanted it. And your customer is not just someone that comes from 5 generations of wealth. Like the world has changed, you know, like, The number one consumer of luxury goods is first generation of wealth, right? And you have to like accept your demons, accept your baggage, like lean into it. This is what storytelling is all about. Nobody watches Harry Potter because he came from a great family. Like we love the rise to riches. We love that he lived in a closet. Like these are the best stories. They're the best stories. So lean into your ugly because it's really what makes you cool.
Yo, I had so many guests in my show, actually in the studio on the camera. Actually, they came to Austin, and from the Playboy bunnies to the drug addict that they quit and everything is, believe it or not, Kamel, they were so vulnerable and I loved it. And those shows, those episodes got the most
watch. Do the best.
And then people, they called me, they messaged me, said, I really, you know, resonate with that. And oh my God. I'm going to talk about my story because my story might help somebody else. Actually, you motivate
Nobody cares
others.
About boring. Yes. Like nobody wants to listen to you be fucking boring. Like it's just, it's like next. Like think about even like what sells on tabloids. Like it's the headlines. It's the gossip. It's the, you know, it's the fallout. It's the rebuild. It's just simple. It's simple. Like we want the vulnerable.
And, you know, simplicity is always working. I don't know why we make everything so complex. I don't know as a human what we do that. Everything, I think, as you said, is everything is simple, perfect, but not perfect. We are who we are, and we gotta put ourselves out there as who we are, and you know the ugly side and the good side, and it all comes together. You know, not all the we are the agency. We tell everybody that. What is your story? Tell me the bad ones. Tell me, you know, what happened. And then when you go and dig those stories out, and it will help you to build the brand around it and help them out to get where they to where they want to be.
Yeah, I think we started complicated marketing because digital feels complicated, you know, and in many ways it is from a like a tech standpoint, you know, like the thing that's kind of weird about digital is nobody knows what they're doing. Like there isn't a playbook that comes from the internet of like, here's how to make millions of dollars. And I think that is really daunting and overwhelming. It's also very exhausting. You know, every platform has its own demands, no strategy, you know, there's no two strategies that should be the same. Like it should be customized for your business. And then to add on top of that, you have different generations that were introduced to technology in different ways. And a lot of the CEOs of these big companies, they're not millennials, you know, and technology can feel very scary, daunting, and overwhelming if you're 60. So I think there's like a natural propensity to complicate because it is complicated, but the message is the same. It's just the medium that has changed. And I think you can, when you actually really look at TikTok and what performs the best, it's this. It's just like raw, unfiltered, organic conversation. It's like cat videos filmed on your cell phone or like lo-fi dance videos. And we have the data. Like brands are ditching $500,000 TV commercials for things shot on their iPhone. Like we're just sick of this over-controlled, over-perfected fake advertisements. Like we want it to feel real. So it's funny to me. Like I was even walking by, I was at the airport yesterday and I landed here in Calgary and there was like an ad from this university and it was like a woman that I guess went to the university and it was like a quote from her and it was like, you know, choosing this university, like helped me feel empowered. And it was this whole quote, but like there was no so what to it. Like it wasn't explaining like why the university is better, like why I should choose it. You know, what options she had to face, how she's using a word like empowerment. Like it was just, it took too many calories to break it down. And I didn't leave walking away from that ad feeling like I'm learning anything about the university or me wanting to choose the university. And someone has come in and has sold them that this like, you know, empowerment and diversity and inclusion matters. And in a way it does, but it not at the expense of you like literally wasting the tens of thousands of dollars you're spending on this billboard in an airport, because I can't tell you one thing about this unit. I can't even tell you about the program. And when a program costs $100,000, it's a product to buy. You shouldn't be wasting it on an empty testimonial from someone who's really faceless. Like she's not, you know, like a prominent member of society. Like she was just a random student. So it shows a kind of what's happening in these board, and they're overcomplicating it. You're bringing politics into marketing. We're bringing personal opinions into marketing, which, you know, for the most part, the political stance that they're trying to make are good on the face of it. Like it's good to be more inclusive. It's good to be more welcoming. It's good to be pro women, pro gay, but it's all these things are good. It's just the question is like, does it have a place when the corporation is faceless? And like, that's kind of like the stress test you need to take, because like as an individual, I love to be all of those things I just listed, but like, does my bank need to, you know, like that's kind of, and it's very complicated when you look at it at a level of like, how many people is a bank serving and satisfying? And like, the reality is like, we can't all have the same political standpoint. Like it's just, that's what makes it politics, is that it's political. So it's a very weird kind of what's going on right now and the complication of marketing.
Yeah, because they're trying to connect, as you said, the politics with marketing, and they're using it basically as a weapon. And some campaign that I've seen
it.
They're using it as a weapon against not only society, you know, against the target audience, whoever it is. But do you think the digital marketing is not dead, but where do you think digital marketing is going?
I feel like it, you know, digital marketing is like, it's just marketing. I think it's hard to differentiate between the both. Like, you have to have an Instagram page. You have to have a functioning website that's like mobile friendly. It's no longer negotiable. But the question is kind of, what level of priority do you kind of take, and how do you kind of propose or proportion resources towards it? So there's a huge renaissance for traditional marketing, depending on the business, your size, and what you're trying to achieve. Like, I'm really pushing clients hilariously to kind of go back to billboards and to radio, because you can't swipe past a billboard.
Yeah.
But it has to make sense for your brand. Like, if it doesn't make sense for you, then it doesn't make sense. But I think that the main kind of where digital marketing, I would say, is dying is like the quantity kind of approach. Like, really, it should be quality. You should be focusing on really providing entertainment or value with anything you do. And you shouldn't be doing something for the sake of doing it. I find AdWords is kind of a box of this, where a lot of medium-sized businesses that may not be the behemoth in their category, they're kind of number three or number four, are trying to be where their number one or number two is, but they just have nowhere near the resources. And it becomes just a resource war. And they feel like they have to be there because the number one is there. And they're not realizing that they can just outspend them. Like, they can just literally burn their cash and have them waste 35 or 40% of their budget because they know that they can outspend them. And I've got tons of clients in industries where they're like spending $80 per click. And I'm like, what are you thinking? Like, you would never be spending this in any other form of marketing. Like, I can't even get you to order fucking sweaters for your clients at $35, but you're wasting $80 per click on Google. And it's this infection of the mind that, like, they need to be checking these boxes. So I think digital marketing isn't what it was by way of, like, it's not as novel. Like, you don't have to be there because someone else is there, but really, like, digital marketing is marketing. Like, if you're not digitized, like, bye-bye, like, you're not going to be here for another 5 years. So it's kind of, it's more complex.
Double-edged sword. Yeah. You know, I think the digital marketing, as you said, is going to be here, but I always look at digital marketing as a tools, as digital foundation. I always tell people that digital marketing is building a house. Okay. You build a house, you got a website, you got your SEO, you got all these, great picture, great videos, everything else. But tell me this, is anybody can come to your house? Anybody can find it? What is the story of that house? What is the story of that house that I have to come and visit you? I have to come and listen to you. You might have the beautiful website, everything is, but you can't have an empty nest. You know, you got to have that story. At the end, you and I will all go back to what is supporting that foundation. All those tools, what is supporting it? Is it a story? Is it your voice? What is your brand voice? And people don't get that it all goes back to freaking people. Their stories, everything.
Well, it's so funny. It's like, I feel like so many people, they'll spend money on like the outside of the house, like, to use your analogy. Yeah. But like,
let me do the landscape.
It's like, but they're like there's like a hole in the ground in the washroom.
Yeah.
You know, or like the kitchen looks like a meth lab from Breaking Bad. Like, it's so funny, like, how people don't realize how we buy and how it's changed. You know, I even look at my grandmother, who's 87 years old. And I know, and she's someone who is on Instagram, is on Facebook.
Are you serious?
Yeah, has a Snapchat account.
Oh my God.
purchases on Amazon, buys Amazon, has an Amazon Prime account, has a Netflix account, has a Crave account. And she's had none of her grandkids be like, this is how to do this. Like, on her own accord,
wow.
on her own, like, propensity, she's been like, this is how I navigate my daily life. And people think that social media is for children. And majority of my business comes off of TikTok. And I would say the average client is over 65 because they're putting time in on TikTok because they don't want to become outdated. Or maybe it's even if it's over 50, like these are older clientels, and I'm putting up air quotes. This is an older clientele that's putting time in every day on TikTok because they know that TikTok, one, it's a really easy way to consume information, but two, they know that TikTok is where everyone is and they don't want to be left behind. And are buying, like how the average person buys has changed. So when you talk about like, this is the house you're welcoming people in, like my grandmother at 87 is, if you're not on Amazon, like you're missing out on sales. She's also someone that's probably going to check out your Instagram account. You know, if she's going to go to you for your chiropractor, or for like, she does telemedicine. And this is someone who's like, she was like born in like the early 1900s. Like she's someone that's
My hero. My God, she's my hero.
But she's a G without even like realizing she's a G. Like I don't show up and be like, you know, hey grandma, like we're going to learn a new program today. It's going to be called TikTok. Like I show up and she's like, hey, so do you know that Amazon does these great add-ons where once you've ordered, you can just add on this page and you can get like the, and I'm like, no, how do you know this? And she's like, well, I've got nothing but time. Like I sit around at home all day on my iPad and I'm like, wow. You know, and I'm someone that's in marketing and I'm not
even you have to hire her. Teaching.
No, I know. She's like literally. And I just, so where I'm going with this is like, it's changed. Like our buying has changed.
It's changed.
If you're not updating your shit, like you're going to be left behind. Like whether you like it or not, the world has changed. And it's so funny. Like every iteration of technological progress, there's always the like people who are like, oh, this is stupid. You know, we're going to go back. I'm like, no, we're never going to go back to horse and buggy. We're never going to go back to like not having the most powerful computer at our fingertips. Like you are mistaken. And like, please start writing your death wish because like, this is bankruptcy. Like this is, you're not thinking clearly. It's not going to work.
And it's constantly changing. Like, you know, I don't carry business card anymore for like more than years, and everything is in my rest. And then when I go over there, I said, okay, tab it. And I said, what? I said, in my LinkedIn, if you need anything, just reach out to me. And all my stuff is here. Nobody actually exchange business cards anymore. And if somebody give it to me, said, I don't know what to do with it, you know? Just find me, you know, just type my name. You can find me. And Google, if you need anything, Google me, you know, I'll be there, you know, and I'll help you. I totally agree with you. The time is changing. Technology is
changed.
Really growing. It's changed. It's changed.
It's
changed. And then, you know, it's growing so fast, like with the, you know, rise of AI and name it. That's a different story.
Oh, my God.
It's just, oh, my dear Lord. I had a client who said, yeah, I want to chat GPT. I want chat GPT to write my brand voice. I said, excuse me? I said, what? I didn't get it. I said, you're the one that you know your story. And it's how chat GPT or AI is going to write your story. You got to give something. But you're going to use it as a tool that's different rather than just, hey, write my story.
Yeah, it's all about the end. Agreed. Yeah, agreed.
It's changed. I agree with you. But what is, if you want to give one piece of advice, Kamel, to these new entrepreneurs or the people, they're going to go out there and they're going to build their personal brand. What that advice would be?
One piece of advice. Well, the one piece of advice is just do it. Like, you know, stop the, you know, the anxiety thoughts and the deprecating self-talk that's going on in your head, and just like get over yourself. No one cares more about you than you do. And it sucks. And the reason why it sucks is because it's worth it. If it was easy, literally everyone would be doing it. So get ahead of your competition by doing it now. It's like a tree. You know, the best time to have planted a tree was 20 years ago. And the second best time is today. You know, the best time to have invested in your personal brand was 5 years ago. But because you didn't, don't waste another five. You know, do it now. More and more people are entering in from your competition. Competition is scarce. Your market is saturated. The only way to stand apart is personal branding. The next kind of step is you're going to say how. You know, it is debilitating. It is crippling. You do need to educate yourself. You do need to do research. This is something that's very serious. You know, you can either hire an expert. And I'd be very critical on who I would hire, and I would go through a process of still educating yourself so you're not getting taken advantage of. But it's never been easier to run a business and open up a business or create a brand online. There's just an abundance of programs that can help you do it, which is just, again, no more excuses. Yes, you need to invest some time and resources into it, but that's the cost if you're going to do it yourself, and you can do it. And then the third would be create send dates. You know, like the first time you create content, it's never going to be good. It's never going to be perfect. And it's like any kind of a skill, like you just get better the more that you do it, but you have to post it. If you go back and you watch my original content, like it makes me cringe. My first video that went viral was a video where that day I hadn't washed the shampoo out of my hair properly. And I had a video team showing up. Oh my gosh. And literally they were like 45 minutes and I was trying to blow dry. I was trying to fix it. And it was like greasy to hear. And I'm like, kill me now. So like I put my hair in this like slick back bun. My zipper, my fly was undone. My shirt was sitting weird. And I hated these videos. I couldn't even listen to what it was saying. Cause I was like, I look horrible. And my team put it out, and it was the video that changed it all. And if I let my ego be in the way, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be having this conversation. So just understand and accept that, one, what you think of yourself is probably not what other people are thinking. But two, you have to embrace the suck. Like, you're not going to get better until you put in 10,000 hours. Like, the reason why that line from Malcolm Gladwell became famous is because it's true. So don't look at us and be like, oh, how do they do it? They're so good on camera. No, like, you can go back. All the videos are still there.
Oh, yeah.
You can see how awkward it was. And, embrace the suck.
Yeah, you have to realize, you said, you just got to be you and you have to just do it. Just do it. Mm-hmm. Good or bad, just do it, you know?
Just
and
do
the
it.
Fear, yeah, and because in the fear, you know, I don't care. You know, it's going to stop you. Yeah, I don't care. It's going to happen. And then, you know, the most important part, people, they're going to judge you no matter what. I promise you. It doesn't matter. Good or bad, they're going to judge you. And don't let them stop you. This is me. Just go do it.
Let them judge you for doing something meaningful that's going to create a legacy. Like, you're so right. And you know what? Honestly, just to add to it, that you're going to be judged hard for the first bit. Okay. And people aren't really going to support you because they're not going to get it. And they don't like when you start moving outside of the box that they've put you in. And once you really start seeing success, and once you start, and they can see it, there's a moment when they're on your bandwagon and they're like, oh my God, this is great. You're killing it. You're doing awesome. And they come out of the woodworks. And once you get to that point, there's a certain level of like, fuck you confidence that you really can't get until you've gone through it. But remember this, and remember that initial judgment, that initial embarrassment, that initial, like, where you're really looking for that support and confidence and you're not getting it, you're onto something. You're doing something worth doing because you're outshining and people want to keep you down. They want to keep you in your box. They want it, like, they want to be able to compartmentalize and have you there for them. So move past it. This is your year. Take note of this and come back to this and let me know when you get to that point. Cause like, I'm here for you.
Yeah, that's the great advice. And then get punched and get it stronger. Just punch me.
Yeah.
Come on. Just bring it on, baby. Yeah. Keep punching. Yeah. But Kimmel, thank you so much. I know you're on your vacation, and thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it for giving me some of your very, you know, important time of your life right now. You're on vacation, as I said, and thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. That means a lot to me. And now I have another great friend in my circle that I can message and I can ask questions.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the beauty of the internet. We're connected. We're friends. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy we're connected. I love the internet. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah. Hopefully one day you'll be in Austin and we can chat.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Thank you, Camilo. You have a wonderful day, dear.
Thank you so much. It's so lovely to
connect. Thank you. It was so.
Goodbye.
You too. Goodbye.